Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. For centuries, racist imagery has been used to caricature and dehumanize African Americans. Images depicting characters such as Sambo, Buck, Mammy, or the Zip Coon, just to name a few, they've been used on everything from toys to trinkets, food to film. Well, in Chico Colvard's new movie, we discover how these objects have found a resurgent market. It's a film that avoids extremes of outrage or passive acceptance and instead explores the complexity of who buys and who sells such objects today. For example, listen to Joy Shiver. She's a white antiques dealer from North Carolina.
I want to use the artifacts to take the wall down between the races. We can't change the past, but it's our goal to take the past and make it a positive, growing, victorious thing, which is the way it actually is.
The film is called Black Memorabilia, and it screens at the Woods Hole Film Festival tonight. And filmmaker Chico Colvard joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let me just ask you, what inspired you to make this film? Is it experiences from your own life?
You know, like a lot of people, I grew up with a lot of these cheerful designs of the Zip Coon and the Mammy and Buck and all of the other caricatures that you mentioned. And I think, you know, when I was younger, I didn't recognize how harmful and offensive and derogatory that they were. I saw them on everything, you know, the Uncle Remus and Aunt Jemima cereal boxes and the cartoons and Shirley Temple and Blackface and Bugs Bunny. And it really wasn't until much later in life that I started to realize sort of the harmful impact that they had, or that there was a correlation between these images and, you know, what I was seeing as just disproportionate public policies that disadvantage black and brown people. And at some point I thought, you know, I could go out to the antique stores and flea markets and sort of eradicate these from, I don't know, I guess like the stream of commerce or something like that, and really curb people's appetite for black memorabilia. And it was just a naive sort of concept, and really realized that I'd completely underestimated the enormity of the problem. But I was really interested in, you know, that whole agnostic experience where I, you know, at some point in time had these very different relationships with the objects. And the more I got to know people in the flea markets and out there in the world who were buying or consuming these things, it was more difficult to just simply indict them. And I thought that was an interesting start for a story.
Well, the film is divided into three parts titled Manufacture, Consume, and Reclaim. And Chico, I really want to talk with you about the second part. It's the one called Consume. Now, the woman that you profile here, I found to be absolutely fascinating, and I do want to commend you. You take a real complex person, and you draw a very nuanced portrait of her. This is Joy Shiver, right? She's an antiques dealer from North Carolina, and she deals a lot. She buys and sells many of these exact kinds of items we've been talking about. But I want to actually start with a moment from the film where Joy, who's white, I should say, she's talking about a document that she once came across that was in regards to a young black boy who was being sold as a slave in the 19th century. And the document shows that he was being sold on his own when he was just a child. So here's what Joy said.
Transcribed it, and then I laid it in my pile, and I broke down and started crying. It's these people's lives that were important. It's what they had to endure to get to where they are, and they have to appreciate it.
So she's so emotional here. She's feeling the pain, to use a cliche, I'm sorry, but of what that document represents that happened to that child, you know, 150 years ago. I was really taken by that. But then in this same sequence, Chico, in the same part of the film, Joy says some other things which took me aback. I'm like, I'm not sure she gets what she's doing. Like for example, she talks about like why she actually thinks, you know, that she as a white person dealing in this black memorabilia is a good thing.
I really think that maybe black people don't really know how to
define their history in an extremely positive way. It's easy for us to do as white people because we see an obvious history of travail.
I don't get that. Can you help us understand her?
Yeah, she's utterly complex, and I don't know if I can help you to fully understand her. My role was to really take a kind of unobtrusive approach to her, and let her speak for herself. We developed a relationship over time, and one where I felt like I was the only source in her life that would even push back at all and challenge her in any way about the KKK and Civil War and Nazi memorabilia that she was dealing in, that she thinks of as real Black history. And for her, I think it's two parts. Three parts or four or five, who knows, but on one hand, it is strictly business for her, mm-hmm. She is an entrepreneur, and she looks at the antique market and she knows that this is the lucrative stuff to be dealing in. People are perversely attracted to this stuff for a variety of reasons. The other piece is that she sees herself as sort of a historian, as someone who's sort of preserving the past. And she's also, there are a lot of things and people around her that accommodate what she's doing.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt there, but there's a couple of scenes where you find some African American men. I can't remember if they're fellow antiques dealers or just people who know Joy, who very enthusiastically say that they love that she's in this business. That according to them, she knows more about Black history than even they do.
Than they do, yeah, and they might be right. And they would seem to sort of like pop out of nowhere, like she had them sort of, on call and, in the back room somewhere, and, she would usher them out on stage or in front of the camera, and they would co-sign, what she was doing. And so why wouldn't, if she's surrounded, and she's in a place, in an environment, a culture that has, monuments erected to Confederate soldiers and street signs named after Confederate soldiers and everything, right?
Can I jump in here for a second? Because I think it's really important for us. I'm just sharing an observation I had as a viewer, okay? Because, again, mm-hmm. she's in North Carolina. And since you mentioned, she's surrounded by monuments to the Confederacy, street names with Confederate soldiers' names on them, one thing that I came away in watching her is, again, I think she's very well intentioned, whether or not that intention plays out in positive or negative ways is a different thing. I think she's very well intentioned, but in that clip we played earlier, for example, when she says that as a white person, perhaps she's better equipped to tell a positive story about Black history. That's interesting. But multiple times, she uses a particular word. She talks about a victorious history. And to me, I feel like that's the language of the Confederacy, right? Like there's this language of the victorious South, even though they lost the Civil War. It's just there, just on the surface for her. She may not even know why she's saying it, but it struck me that she used that word repeatedly.
Yeah, that's language that's commonly used throughout all the many, many circles that she travels in. That and language like Southern pride. And what you come to realize is that for Joy, like many white Southerners that are around her, at least, and that I met, for Joy to admonish these artifacts, these relics of the past, the 13th star, first national Confederate flag, and all that stuff is in many ways for her to reject certain truths, about American history, and to also push aside the very people who first introduced her to these artifacts. And so mm-hmm. in this case, you're talking about a loving mother or father, or grandparent, and something like that. And once you sort of think about it from that perspective, it becomes much more difficult to just merely reduce her to this sort of one-dimensional type, racist caricature, right?
Right.
I think for a lot of people, you know, we hold on to ideas and principles and beliefs, not because they stand up to logic, but because, you know, we're defending the people that introduced them to us. And I think joy is no different.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the third part of your film called Reclaim. And you follow artist Alexandria Smith.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about her?
So Alexandria, I first met her or were introduced to her in Brooklyn, New York, where she's an artist, you know, but as a painter, but also as a performance artist. And she has these really sort of visually alluring pictures that depict these scenes of these young girls who are kind of engaging in some kind of play or something like that. And I had noticed that in these paintings, these little girls seemed to essentially be in blackface.
Mm.
And I thought that was intriguing enough to go and just explore it. And so when I went to her studio in Brooklyn and met her, and she says, I want to show you sort of part of what's sort of like my private collection. I've never shown anyone, which is always intriguing to me. And in this private collection of photographs, there's her assuming the characters or the identities of these little girls. And so she's dressing up with this pillowcase over her head, but underneath it with these big eye holes that are cut out, she is in blackface. And so it was really interesting to see her assume this identity, this character, to sort of adopt this other sort of persona and then go out into public. And I think in an effort to really sort of combat, she's assuming the identity of this
yeah.
blackface characters in an effort to sort of combat the very stereotypes that these images perpetuate.
So you do have a scene in the film where we see Alexandria, an African-American woman, applying the blackface makeup to mm-hmm. her own skin. What was it like for you to watch her do that? Because it made me feel uncomfortable watching her do that.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable to watch. But as are these images of black people and, you know, uncomfortable to watch. I want it to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a little bit of tape from your section with Alexandria Smith. And here she's talking about her work and also sort of the burden or responsibility that she carries in doing this kind of work as a black artist.
When you're painting, drawing, dealing with the brown body as a subject matter, you have no choice but to deal with what that means and the burden that you know, that comes along with it. But if I was white, painting white people, no one would question what I'm doing.
Chica Colvar, talk to me about that. I mean, does she feel like people question her work?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, as artists, our work is supposed to be questioned, hopefully. You know, hopefully it's provocative in some sense, that it stirs something up inside of you and gets you to think. I think what she's saying, however, is that there's a fundamental distinction in how her work is appreciated or interpreted or how she's engaged as an artist around her work versus her white counterparts.
So finally, when people view the film, when they see it, I mean, it is so subtle, it is so nuanced that I'm about to ask a question, which maybe it's just a ridiculous one, but what do you want viewers to come away with?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, like I think the value of a documentary like this, I think, sort of really lies in the social currency and some of the personal content as well, sort of the intimacy, right? Sort of really humanizing these issues. I think that I hope that the characters in some ways are in some instances maybe depicted as virtuous. In some cases, I think some people are going to see joy no matter what she says or doesn't say as someone who's insensitive and cruel. And I hope that people make some sort of connection between these images and how they dehumanize black brown people and how they are part of our everyday sort of material culture, and that they seep into public policy and abuse and mistreatment of these target groups.
Well, the film is called Black Memorabilia. It's by filmmaker Chico Colvard, and it is screening tonight at the Woods Hole Film Festival. Chico Colvard, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And we have more information about the film and the screening. It's all at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.